This is Love Your Work, and I'm David Cadavy. Wow, I'm really excited for this week's episode. This is our 100th episode. 100th episode. The show has come so far from when it first started. Those of you who have been around the whole time know that. You know, the first time that I said out loud that I was thinking of starting a podcast was way back in early 2012. I was doing a mini life in Buenos Aires. I was rooming with Laura Roeder, who you heard back on episode 9. We were in the flat that we were sharing. We were just chatting. And I mentioned it in passing, like, you know, maybe I'll start a podcast. And Laura's always been a person of action. So she said, yeah, you should do it. And that was that. I proceeded to not do it. I proceeded to mull over it for 4 years. But then finally, 2 years ago, I was doing another mini life. This time I was in New York. And I had brought my recording equipment with me, thinking maybe I'd finally get the guts to start a podcast while I was on my trip because it was going to be in New York and there could be people that I could interview. And I got an email from a newsletter that I was subscribed to. It was Paul Jarvis's newsletter. And he was talking about how easy it was to start a podcast, how little time it takes him. So that was my tipping point. At that time, I had been listening to Tim Ferriss and James Altucher, and I love their shows. But there was something missing for me. There was a podcast that I wanted to hear, but that did not exist. And I wasn't interested in people who were world class. I wasn't interested in peak performance. I wanted to share the stories of the interesting people that I knew who had created businesses and lifestyles all their own. And it wasn't going to be about being the best. It was about being the best version of your own self. So there I was in New York. I knew exactly who I wanted to talk to first. And I emailed Jonathan Wegner from TimeHop. And then the rest was history. Now, once I had made that commitment, it inspired the rest of the actions. I didn't have the artwork. I didn't have the intro music. I didn't even have a name. But hey, since it was so easy and since I'd been thinking about it for so long, it was finally time to start. And by the way, Paul's email, the one about how easy it is to make a podcast, that was a complete lie. That's okay, though. I think there's a great quote from Picasso. It goes like this. Art is a lie that makes us realize truth. Art is a lie that makes us realize truth. I found that in the process of making art, sometimes you have to tell yourself lies. You have to convince yourself that it will be easy, or tell yourself it's okay if it turns out to be not any good, or say that you just want to write 100 words. And sometimes you turn out to be right, but more often than not, you get yourself moving. The love takes over. You get momentum. It drowns out the fear that was holding you back. And from the lie that you told yourself, the truth comes out. So here we are at the truth. Today, for this special 100th episode, I want to talk about finding your truth, the truth of your calling. You can feel it inside you. You know there's something that you have to offer the world that nobody else can. How do you find it? I'm going to share some of the most powerful lessons that I've learned so far. We're going to hear from Jason Fried and Laura Roeder and Dan Ariely and Seth Godin, many, many others. You'll hear 10 of the very best lessons from 100 episodes of this show. They are all focused around how to find your calling. After so many interviews and thinking about what I've learned in those interviews and listening to those interviews again, I've started to notice patterns. I'm dividing up today's lessons into 3 distinct phases of finding your calling. Discovery, decision, and doing. Discovery is about discovering what you want to pursue. Decision, that's about deciding that you're going to do it. And doing, well, that's actually making it so. So let's get started. First, discovery. To find your calling, you need to discover what it is that you want to pursue. Usually it seems you don't just wake up one day and know what it is you want to do. It can come from different sources. I think one of those sources is from our dreams. Now, they don't have to be your actual dreams like while you're sleeping. They can also be those little fantasies you have in your head throughout the day. You have to listen carefully for those fantasies. I think most of us are programmed to simply ignore them. And our dreams can be guiding stars, but they can also hold us back. If we're too fixated on a dream, we can miss the opportunities right in front of us. Let's hear from Peter Bregiel on episode 63. Peter dreamed of having his own travel show. And here he's going to tell a story of trying a career in modeling on a trip to Italy and what he dreamed about while he was on that trip.
So during this time, I'm like in between castings, I'm going to this bookstore near the Duomo, which is like in the center of Milan. And I'm in the travel section. I'm just looking through travel books. And I wanted to get out of Italy. And I wanted to get out, but I didn't want to fly home. You know, when you tell people, it's like, okay, I came home from Italy. Everyone's going to assume you flew home. Right. If I told you right now, I'm like, oh, I just came back from Italy. You're probably going to think, okay, well, how was your flight? And I think part of me was just like, I want to get back home, but I want to do it in a very unconventional way. I want to travel home overland. So I'm in Italy. I'm like, okay. So I remember just looking at these guidebooks and these maps and be like, I can go across Russia, cross the Bering Strait somehow, go through Alaska, down through Canada, and then like knock on my parents' door in Chicago and be like, hey, I'm here. It's like, how'd you get here? Be like, I traveled by train, by boat, by car. And it was something that's so exotic or just so like amazing feeling that I could just be like, I can start my journey right now. I don't have to start my journey by jumping on a computer and finding the cheapest flight. I can go to the train station and be like, get me to Hamburg or get me to Moscow. And then from Moscow, get me there. The dreams evolve. The dreams evolve as do we. We grow and then like we have different aspirations. So I think it's awesome just like have any dream, you know, it's like, allow it to change. Like, you know, not to be so stubborn. It's like, well, that has to be it. It's like, it can take on a form. And as long as like you have that burning inside your heart to go in whatever direction that you did when that dream first came up, then I think you're fine.
Peter never did take that long trip home, but he's lived his dream in many other ways. He's canoed the entire Mississippi River, he's traveled the entire Trans-Siberian Railway, and he's shared his adventures on YouTube with sponsorships from brands like Range Rover and Rosetta Stone. Again, Peter Bregule is on episode 63. And I think what holds most of us back from noticing our dreams, which then holds us back from discovering our calling, is expectations from others, or rather, what it is that we think that others expect from us. As we'll learn from Jason Fried, what we think others expect from us isn't always what they actually do want from us. Jason was starting a web design consultancy more than 15 years ago. At first, he got caught up on what he thought his clients wanted from him. One of those things was the dreaded long proposals. Here's how Jason, on episode 1, learned to break free of those expectations and be himself.
I was doing these long proposals. And because I thought that's what you had to do, like 20-page proposals. I remember like writing 20-page proposals about like.
Oh, yeah. I've done a couple of those.
Right? Right?
Yeah.
And you spend, I don't know, weeks and all-nighters and like you write these proposals.
You don't get the job.
You don't get the job. Right? So I realized this. I'm like, you know, I'm doing these 20-page proposals. I'm busting my ass on them. I don't like doing them. It's what you're supposed to do, right? Or is it? So I started doing shorter and shorter and shorter proposals and started winning jobs. Mm. And at the end of my freelance career, I was doing single page proposals.
Yeah.
And I wasn't losing any business over them. And I realized, holy shit, I don't need to do what everyone else is doing. Like, I thought this is how you had to do it, but you don't have to do it that way. And that's like where I gave myself permission to go, well, what else I have to do that everybody else is doing?
Okay.
Jason not only went on to do design work for clients like Meetup and Getty Images, he eventually started Basecamp, a software as a service project management app. Basecamp now fully supports Jason and his 50 plus employees who work from anywhere in the world with a 32-hour work week and 3-day weekends in the summer. Again, Jason Fried is on the very first episode of this podcast. Now, before we talk about deciding to follow our calling, there's one more thing I've learned that holds us back from discovering our calling, and that is our weaknesses. We think something is holding us back. Maybe we're an introvert, we feel we went to the wrong school, we grew up in the wrong place. Manish Sethi worried he couldn't find success because he had severe ADD, and you're going to hear about it. But he turned that weakness into a superpower. Here he is on episode 13.
This one day, it hit really darkly. A friend of mine offered to invest in my company, and he said, hey man, just send me over like 750 words, just some kind of like executive summary, and I'll gladly invest 10K. And I was like, all right, well, I have a 6-hour train ride, so this should be cake, right? 750 words, that's like nothing. So 6 hours later, after the train is over, there's literally, I haven't even opened up Microsoft Word. And I'm like, I'm not going to sleep until I have finished this article. And in the morning, it's now 7 a.m. I've been awake for like 14 hours working on this product. I've written 130 words. Most of it is animated GIFs. And I'm extremely pissed at myself and frustrated. It's like, it's not like college where I can blame it on me not caring. It's my company. It's easy. It's 750 words. It's $10,000, right? What is wrong with me? Last ditch effort. I pulled out my iPhone. I held it up like this, and I recorded like 3 or 4 minutes of me saying what I wanted to say. And I sent that to my intern who had just started working for us from Tufts. And like 45 minutes later, he sent me back basically a final draft. And it clicked at that moment that some people are designed to fill out spreadsheets and other people need to know what spreadsheets need to be filled out.
The company Manish is building actually helps him with his own problems with attention and self-discipline. Pavlok makes products that help people break bad habits and build healthy habits. Manish Sethi is on episode 13. So those are some of the key ways that you can discover your calling. You can pay attention to your dreams. You can break through the expectations of others, whether they're real or imagined, or you can turn your weakness into a superpower. Now, what about deciding to follow your calling? You've got to discover, decide, then do. Sometimes you decide to do something because you're thrown into a situation where you really can't do anything else. You're bouncing back from rock bottom. Like Elise Bauer. Elise was bedridden with a flu that just would not go away. She couldn't work anymore. She used to work at Apple. She had to move back in with her parents at age 42. She helped out in the kitchen and she started publishing the recipes online.
And then 2 years into living at home with my mom and dad, I had a relapse because I'd been trying to get better too hard. And one summer, I spent 2 months in bed. I would just get up to eat. And because I couldn't, I was sick. But I was still blogging this whole time and I was taking pictures of what my parents were cooking and I was writing it up on Simply Recipes. And it was still early. This was when I first moved home, was 2003. And those first couple of years, there are only a handful of us. And for me, every day was this, I could choose between feeling sorry for myself, or I could just take a deep breath, go with it, and add a recipe to the website. Right?
Slowly, Elise got better, and her recipe site kept growing. Today, Simply Recipes now has amassed over 1,600 recipes. Be sure to listen to Elise Bauer on episode 33 to learn more about her story. If you're bouncing back from rock bottom, you have nothing to lose. But if you're in a secure job, that can sometimes be the hardest time to decide to pursue your calling. It seems so risky. But like Laura Roeder, you can put that risk in perspective. When she quit her job to start her own company, that perspective made the decision easy.
I mean, I think people have a lot of unrealistic fears about, quitting their job and working for themselves, because the worst case scenario is that you get another job. The very worst case scenario is you get a job that's not as good for a few years and maybe you have to like take a while to work your way back up. But it's like, okay, so your worst case scenario is back where you started. I mean, most of us are lucky enough to have a network of friends and family. You know, most people listening to this podcast are not going to be homeless. It's not. Yeah. I mean, there are some people out there that are in that situation that, you know, grew up without a family or whatever, and it's a lot harder. But you know, I know I'm like most people in that I have random cousins that I've never met, but I could show up at their house and be like, can I sleep here for a week? And they'd be like, all right, you know, like you're not going to starve to death if you don't do well working for yourself. Like you'll go get a job. You might have to get a job at Walmart. That would suck, but it's not the worst thing in the world.
Laura ended up creating a social media training company called LKR Social Media. And now she's CEO of Meet Edgar, which is a social media automation tool. She works part-time and spends the rest of her time raising her family. Hear more of Laura Roeder's story on episode 9. Before we get into the final stage of finding your calling, the doing, there's one more way you can decide to pursue your calling. Besides bouncing back from rock bottom or putting the risk in perspective, you can make measured changes. Like Jeff Goins, he discovered that he wanted to be a writer, but he had a secure day job and a family to support. Here's Jeff on episode 27.
And so the next day at 5 a.m., I woke up that morning before I got ready for work or anything, and I wrote. And I wrote about 500 words. And day after that, I did it again, and I did it again. I did it every day for a year. I put a lot of this on a blog. I ended up building a community. About a year and a half into it, I got an offer from a book publisher. Shortly after that, I started this online business. And by the end of that second year, I was having that conversation with my boss, and he had seen all this happen. And like my friend Mark, he said, this is rare the way all this stuff happens, you know, and it happens so quickly. And my boss saw that too, and he knew it was coming, and he was a mentor of mine. He was very affirming. I'm not saying that every boss is going to be like, hey, you should do this, or that you even need to quit your job. But I think there were lots of people in my life who were going, finally, Jeff is becoming this person that for a long time we knew he was.
Today, Jeff is author of 5 books, including the Wall Street Journal bestseller, Real Artists Don't Starve. You can hear Jeff on episode 27 and on episode 79. Now, once you've discovered your calling and you've decided you're going to pursue it, you have to actually do it. But how do you break through all the fear and the distractions to actually make it happen? One thing you should do is make the most of your best mental energy. We all have our high points and our low points throughout the day, so work with them to get through the tough parts of trying anything new. Dan Ariely is an expert on self-motivation. He's the author of Predictably Irrational and many other books on human behavior. I worked with Dan on a productivity app called Timeful, which he's going to talk about right here.
And we also found out, both from your observations, but also from the research we've done, that people take that these precious hours when we're focused and attentive and can focus and waste them on things like email and Facebook, where it's incredibly non-productive, right? If you think that you have 2 hours of productive hours a day, and on each of those hours you can produce 2.5 times to 3 times more than on these hours after lunch, every minute you waste of those 2 hours is a waste.
By the way, the app that Dan and I collaborated on got bought by Google, and Google has been integrating some of the features that we came up with into Google Calendar. Really cool. Besides making the most of your mental energy, you can scale back your goals and make the doing part of your learning process. Seth Godin has worked on hundreds of books as a book packager and has written more than a dozen books of his own. Along the way, he's learned a lot about the book publishing business. He says that when it comes to books, you don't need a gatekeeper. Here's Seth on episode 77.
My point is, you can't cede this authority to a publisher because they're not going to do a good job. Even if they care about you, they have to do a book every 2 days. So you're still going to be the head of marketing for your book. You're still going to be the head of strategy for your book. So how do you learn that? Well, you learn it by doing it. And the easiest way to do it under another name if you want, is to come out with a book a week on the Kindle, to figure out how to build websites that get people to click and sign up, it costs nothing to do this. It costs less than it costs me to mail my proposals to book packagers, to book publishers. So what are you waiting for? This moment, there's all this milling about, and sometimes someone raises their hand and say, yeah, I'm over here. And that act, you know, you're showing up every day doing a podcast. It's an extraordinarily generous act. There's not a short line between here and success. There is a long line and you're on it, but you're learning every time you do it. How much does it cost you to start doing a podcast? Nothing, right? But there's all these other people who are waiting for Podcasting Central to call them on the phone and say, will you please do a podcast? And no one's going to call.
Again, Seth is on episode 77. And even if you aren't looking to publish books, you can learn a lot from Seth's advice. Like I talked about earlier with Peter Breggiel, don't let lofty dreams hold you back from achieving smaller accomplishments. And finally, if you've discovered your calling and you've decided you're going to pursue it, you need a clear idea of what success is so you can actually do it. That's what I learned from Tucker Max. Tucker is one of the few authors ever to have 3 books on the New York Times bestseller list at the same time. He's been famous and he's failed big. Here's what Tucker said on episode 29.
One of my favorite Abraham Lincoln quotes is, if I have 5 hours to cut down a tree, I'm going to spend the first 4 sharpening the axe. If you are looking to find success your own way, understand super fucking clear what success is to you. You should spend a lot of time clearly nailing that down and defining that. Because once you have a clear picture, is like, oh, I'd like to, it's not like, I just kind of like to do stuff. And no. It's, I want this income. I want this lifestyle. I want this set of relationships and friends. I want whatever. then once you have a clear, measurable set of goals that essentially that are earmarks of success for you, then you can go get them. It's really easy to go achieve specific results. It's really hard to chase a vague and transient sense of something.
So there we have it, the top lessons from 100 episodes on how to find your calling, discover, decide, and do. I think it's worth mentioning that not all of these are going to go in order all the time. It's really hard to define success, for example, especially if you're still living with the expectations of others and those are all in your head. And sometimes actually doing is the way that you decide, which we'll hear from our last tip from James Altucher. It's a quick one.
Doing things is how you get things done.
I hope that after 100 episodes, I've done something to help you find your calling, whether it's discovering, deciding, or doing. Thank you so, so much for being along on this journey. And if you're new, hey, I'm David Cadavy. Great to meet you. Check out one of the amazing guests that you heard on this episode. And there's plenty of other episodes that you haven't heard a bit of, somewhere around 90 or 100 of them, in fact. Is Love Your Work helping you crack the code on fulfilling work? If so, I could really use your help. For the show to continue and to continue being free for everyone, it needs your support. One way you can help is to subscribe. Subscribe, subscribe, subscribe. Just hit the subscribe button on your favorite podcast app. Apple Podcast ratings help too. Just go to cadavy.net/apple, click on write a review, and click on the star rating. You don't even have to write a review. It just takes a couple of seconds. You can also join Love Your Work Elite, hosted on Patreon. You could call it a donation, but it's really much more than that. You'll get your own personal RSS feed with early access to episodes and bonus content. You'll also get a discount on Love Your Work merchandise. Learn more at lywelite.com. Love Your Work is brought to you in part by top Love Your Work Elite members such as Arif Akhtar and Ed Stanfield of startwithclarity.com. This has been Love Your Work, and I'm David Cadavy. The theme music for the show is At Sea by Durena from the album About Everything and More, by arrangement with Deep Elm Records at deepelm.com. Love Your Work is a production of Cadavy, Inc.